Hi, Steve Artimer here, and welcome to the New Life Live podcast. We hope to provide help and hope in your life through God's Word, counselors, and psychologists as we answer questions from listeners who call with the challenges of life. Let's go to today's episode.
We are so glad that you joined us today. We're going to be taking your calls at 1-800-229-3000. And joining me is Dr. Jill Hubbard and Jim Burns. And Jill, I would love to know, what is on your mind today?
Hi, everyone. Good to be here. Well, what's on my mind today is airport anxiety. Not something we talk a lot about, but I had a recent last-minute trip this weekend, and you may not be hearing this at the time when I experienced this, but last-minute means less than optimal flight times, correct? I was at the airport and was so kind of in awe of watching this, what seems like a well-oiled, chaotic machine in the works. And for some, I go to the airport a lot, but I was stepping back and observing all of these moving parts and how there's this balance of tension, anticipation, threat, safety, and how all these parts are trying to work together. And there's this balance that's held of tension and conformity, because we all have a goal to get to our destination. And so you have to conform to a certain degree, and we jump through all these hoops. All of you know that. I remember early when I married into my in-law family, the amount, and these are people that traveled a lot, the amount of airport anxiety and meltdowns that I witnessed was just so shocking to me in my younger years. And yet there I was at the airport and realizing, no, airport anxiety is really real, and feeling anxious about moving through this. So I thought, well, I want to look at this a little bit. And some of the things that I found out there, I mean, first of all, it is real. A lot of people, in fact, 25% of people have some form of travel anxiety. That is separate from a flying phobia or aviophobia. Really, with that, sometimes they say up to 30 to 40% of people have that. But to really truly have aviophobia, it's about 5%. But 25% of us, and some people were even saying 90% of people have some form of anxiety when they travel. And so moving through the airport and realizing that, you know, things could just go awry really easily. And that I think about, this is man at its, well, I don't know if I can say this, at its best, right? We're moving, doing all these moving parts, trying to keep everyone safe. And then contrast with how God, you know, has the world held in the balance that he has, and how perfectly orchestrated. And we don't always see that. We focus on all of the flaws, the negativity, the chaos, everything that's going wrong. We don't see behind the scenes how well things are held in the balance, right? And how every day we're having to trust, and we're having to trust with our anxiety. And we put ourselves in these situations where it's kind of a powder keg. Oh, so much more to say, and I hear the music. But moving through, it was quite a challenge. And so let me just tell you, some of the physical symptoms: dry mouth, shaky hands, shortness of breath, dizziness, sweating, decreased attention. These are the people around you when you travel. Their emotional symptoms: panic attacks, feelings of being self-conscious, of being judged, irritability, negative thoughts, restlessness, and on edge. So that's the heightened sense when we are moving through to get to the goal that we want. And I can say more, Becky.
I love that. It's true. Well, it's true, because when you think about, you may not even be aware that that's what's happening to you. Mm-hmm. But there is a lot converging, and we all have that single goal to get to our destination. Boy, that'll preach on a lot of different levels. We're going to be right back answering your calls after this.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
I'm Steve Artimer with the New Life Moment. Why do phrases like once upon a time or in a land far away immediately grab our attention? Well, these phrases tell us we're about to hear a story. And stories have an amazing ability to challenge our intellects, stimulate our imaginations, and speak to our emotions. The best stories parallel our own life experiences and situations. They bridge time and space to include us in the drama. That's why the lion's share of the Bible comes to us as historical narrative, real-life stories that tell of God's great love for us and His plan to redeem us. Someone once said, "No one can tell the story of the Lord without at the same time telling the story of his own life, his experience with Him." The Bible does just that. That's the key to understanding it. Come and explore the implications of your story at newlife.com. I'm Steve Arterman, and thanks for listening to this New Life Moment.
I love that. And, you know, I've heard a statistic somewhere that said that when we read books, when we read nonfiction, we have a guard up, that we're suspicious, that we are skeptical. When we read fiction, we are open to what the possibilities are. And I love that. In the story, just like what Steve was talking about in the Bible stories, in the parables, we're open to the meaning behind the story. And I just love that. And if you're not reading your Bible, we've got a few Bibles here at New Life that we could encourage you to get a copy and begin your journey reading the Bible. Matter of fact, we have a new Bible that just is released this month. And Misty Arterburn, Steve's wife, was part of the editorial group. And so if you make a gift of $100 or more, we'll send you, if you request that particular Bible. It's a women's Bible, and there's so many great stories and input that you can learn from that. And while I'm on the subject, I might as well say we have our matching gift campaign that's still continuing to go. So every dollar that you give will be doubled and make a difference in the lives of so many people. You can donate by going to newlife.com /donate, or you can text the word match to 28950, or you can call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Whatever way you want to give, we want to say thank you in advance because you are changing the lives of so many people. And we are grateful for all of you who are giving. And I just want to encourage you, if you've never given before, now is the time to give to New Life Ministries because your gift will be doubled and make a difference in the life of someone. Jill, I want to revisit just the anxiety for one more second because, you, like I said before we went to the break, that destination is, you know, we want to get somewhere, whether we're traveling or not, and all of the things that we have to pay attention to. And I know you had a little bit of a kerfluffle, even, well, I don't even know if it's that. I want to, you know, but that story in itself will preach, right?
Yes. Do you want me to tell that?
Yeah,
briefly?
Just a little bit. Yeah. Okay. Because we got calls and we want to get to them.
Yes. Well, the end of my trip culminated in me being pulled off a flight after I was already sat by TSA. And them not telling me why, but grab your things, you're not coming back. It was quite a scary moment, and having to go with it and leave my traveling person there on the flight. And turns out I had inadvertently packed a pocket knife in a bag I decided to make as a carry-on. And so it was quite an adventure. But just again, all these moving parts, and that they really are working to try to keep us as safe as possible, but that we make our steps, right? But yes. God directs our path. I'm like, okay, God, I'm on a different path.
Yes. And a different plane.
And a different plane.
And a different plane, yes. And you got home, so that's a really
and
good
I got
thing.
Home. Yeah.
Well, I tell you, if it's not one thing, it's another. That's what we talk about all the time. Well, thanks for sharing that, Jill.
Sure.
We're going to go to the calls, and we're going to talk with Lisa, who's calling us from Martinsburg, West Virginia. She listens on the app, and you can listen there, too, if you download the app wherever you get your apps. Hi, Lisa. We're so glad you called. How can we help you today?
Yes, ma'am. a lot of issues, but I'm going to give you my question first.
Okay, go ahead.
How do I start looking forward instead of keep looking back in the rearview mirror, you know, so to say? In 2012, my husband had an affair. Well, 2010, he had an affair, which I didn't know about. I was busy taking care of my ill sister, and my father came down with cancer. I was taking care of him, working a full-time job, raising children, working. And I just didn't see what was in front of me. And he kept lying about it and lying about it. I confronted him, and then I finally got a hold of his phone and got into it because he changed his numbers, and I couldn't get into it. And I saw the picture of her and her, you know, her whatever, and then some emails. And I'm like, why are you lying to me? If you don't want this, say so. So anyway, that went on for a while, and then he said, he finally came out, and his mother came over and said, I'm not in love with you anymore. I'm done. And at that time, we've been together 22 years.
Wow.
And,
where are things now, Lisa?
He asked me back in 2012, late 2012, early 2013. And then my dad was dying with the cancer, and we were living in Carolina with my aunt trying to help my dad. And then we came back and we moved into a townhouse in Woodbridge.
Lisa, can I just ask, did you divorce or just separate?
We just separated. It was going for a divorce.
For 2 years?
But a little over a year.
Okay.
So then we moved in with my... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I want to make sure we have enough time to get to the core of your question, because you're thinking... Okay. You want your question is, how do I just keep going forward? But it sounds like there's a lot. Go ahead, Lisa.
I'm sorry. There's so much more to the story than you'll ever know. But just to make things short, we moved from my son's house. We lived there for 6 or 7 years. We rented his basement because my husband lost his job, and he invited us in and said, y'all can help take care of his baby, and I could take care of the baby while they worked and whatever. But anyway, long story short, things got really rough with a bunch of different things, and then it was time to go. So we couldn't find anything cheaper in Springfield or Fairfax County, so we moved to Martinsburg, West Virginia. We now bought a home. Well, it's in his name only, not mine, but we're going to fix that. But anyway... seems like since we've moved here, my fear and anxiety with him cheating has gotten worse. I keep telling myself every day, and I pray to the Lord, Lord, I got to look forward. I can't keep looking back. But he lies to me a lot, you know, about, like, you got a loan for a car, two loans, and didn't tell me about it. Why won't you tell me about it? It's our money. Anyway, so
Lisa, go finish your thought. Go ahead.
I'm fine. Go ahead. It's just, I don't appreciate the lies, and he's also
not.
Been if I fall asleep, he'll go to the bathroom and do things he shouldn't be doing, and looking on the internet, and it's just anyway.
Lisa, it sounds like, and that's a lot. And I'm so sorry for how this has been for you. Certainly nobody deserves to be lied to. And people lie when they're doing things they know they shouldn't. So they keep it secret. They usually have a lot of shame, but they're protecting their secrets. And so way back when, you guys, I hear that you separated, but there was a lot of things going on and external circumstances that kept you guys dealing with those things. I'm wondering how much you actually have dealt with the affairs and the breach of the relationship.
Not at all. When it first
Bingo,
came, when,
yeah.
Actually, my son, my middle son, is the one who told me, Mom, Dad's cheating on you. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what? And then my daughter-in-law was living with us at the time with my son. Yeah, I called him on the internet several times. Anyway,
so Lisa,
I was seeing a counselor then.
Okay.
And when this came down, I said, Dave, come I made an appointment. Come with me. Let's go see her. He took off and went to see his girlfriend. I just left and went to the counselor myself.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you made that choice.
Yes, but now it's 10 plus years later. And you're having a hard time moving forward because there is so much that's unresolved. It's like you guys have been limping along on a broken leg that's never healed, and you wonder why you can't walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And part of it is that you can't do it all. He needs to come to the table, but because of the circumstances, you've allowed things, and I'm not blaming you at all, allowed things to limp along.
Exactly. I understand what you're saying there.
Yes. Yes. So if sometimes we have to wait till things calm down a little bit with the externals in order to say, okay, now I can handle dealing this elephant in the room that has never been dealt with. And so if that's the case, well, either way, it has to be dealt with. Lisa, I wish you could come to our Restore workshop. That's a place where women get a lot of hope and healing to deal with exactly this, the right. infidelity and the lying that so erodes your trust. Of course, your anxiety and fear have increased because the lying is still happening. And he's not come clean about that. He's not submitted to really healing himself. And at some level, a lot of times people resign themselves because they've created such a habit. And there's so many deeper issues that they're covering up with this acting out behavior that they don't even mm-hmm. know where to begin. So they are content and resigned to saying, well, I guess limping for the rest of my life is good enough.
Right, right.
And so sometimes you have to address to say, you know, sweetheart, I care about you. And even apart from how you've hurt me, how do you feel about the life you are choosing that's filled with shame and hiding and lying and us not being truly connected? And that wanting more for him. I think our Everyman's Battle workshop would be a great immersion for him to have a paradigm shift, and that's what you're needing for him to have some hope that it can be different.
And you know, most of the time, Lisa, when we have men that go to Everyman's Battle, it's because their wife or their partner has said, this is your next step. Mm-hmm. And just that process of healing is going to take your attention that's been diverted to other things, like Jill was saying. Jim, what would you like to add to this conversation?
Well, you know, I was thinking, Lisa, I was putting myself in your place if this was possible, and I was listening to what Jill was saying, and I really hope you hear what she said because it's not working. She used the word paradigm shift. I'm going to use the word reboot. When my phone doesn't work, I have no idea what's wrong, and half the time I just turn it off and turn it on, and it kind of reboots, right? I think you need a reboot. And part of that reboot is, you know, before freedom in this relationship, you're going to have to go through the pain of going all the way back, my guess is, to 2010, 2011, 2012, and work through that with someone. But there are flags that really worry me right now. The flag of you not being on the name of the house, him going into the bathroom and doing whatever he's doing with probably, you know, porn or whatever it might be. The lies. He's still living this way. You got to help him make some wise decisions. And to do that, you need the tools and the resources. You're going to get that from the wisdom of others. So go get some help.
Yeah, we are going to get you connected with some help. And Lisa, I'm going to send you a copy of Dr. Sherry Keffer's book, Intimate Deception, which I think will help you get some more insight in this. And like Jill said, we have our Restore workshop that's going to be in D.C. in July. And we've got Everyman's Battle that's going to be in D.C. in May. And, you know, this could be the next step to your new life. We're so grateful that you called. We'll be praying for you, Lisa, and we'll be right back after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, we were just talking about the intensives, and we have an Emotional Freedom Intensive online that's going to be in June 1st. And so, you know, maybe you need to spend a day where you just reassess, where am I stuck? What am I needing help with? There is a free quiz on this, you know, just to decide if you need some emotional freedom. I think maybe some of us do. Newlife.com. You can go there and take that quiz and find out. You're going to hear from Chris Williams and Dr. Jackie Mack Harris, as well as Steve, on that one day online workshop. So we hope that you will join us then. We're going to go back to the calls, and we are going to speak with Helen, who's calling us from Boston and listens on WEZE. Hello, Helen. How can we help you today?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to give you a call because I have several imbalanced friendships in my life where the other person does most of the talking, and I take on the role of the good listener. And I feel like these individuals, they rarely ask me questions about my life, and I know much more about their lives than they know about mine. And I wind up feeling like a sounding board. I feel invisible and tired after spending time with them. And this causes me not want to be with them again. And it's difficult because as a Christian, I want to be a good friend to others and be there for people who are going through difficult things. And thankfully, I do have other friendships that are equal and balanced where I feel loved. But I would love your insight on why I'm in these situations and what to do about them.
I think it's a great question, Helen. Jim, let's start with you.
Yeah. You know, Helen, as you were saying this, actually, I was thinking about my own life. I have some in-laws. Here I am burning them on the radio. I don't think they've ever asked me about my life. And you know what? I'm not as tied into them because they never sent. And I don't know why. But I am a good listener, and they think I'm a good guy, which is hilarious because sometimes I don't like them. I'll just be honest. And I'm not naming the in-laws, so I'm safe. But anyway, the point that I'm saying is that we have VDPs, very draining people, and we all have them. And these people may be very draining to you. That's why we need those VIPs, because you said you have other people who know you and who ask about you. And I think what happens is we just can't have more VDPs than VIPs. We need some, you know, very inspiring people to be around us. I'm in a small group. Every Tuesday, so it just happened for me that I was with these people. And then, you know, we ask about each other. Well, that's I feel known by them. And you know, a great psychologist in your neck of the woods said, we all have this need to know and to be known. And and so I think you have to lower your expectations with some of those people. They're just not, they may not do it. And maybe because you're such a good listener, to be honest. So maybe just that's, you know, your strength becomes a weakness too. But what I wanted to say was make sure you're around these other people that where you feel known. Then it gives you the strength to work with the more draining people. But sometimes we spend more time with those draining people, and that doesn't help. That's not being selfish. That's being self-care. Take care of yourself by making sure that there are people in your life where you're known. I have people in my life who know me, and so I don't have to be known by those other people that I mm-hmm. talked about and threw under the bus.
That's good. Jill?
Well, I'm really glad to hear, Helen, that you do have people
yes.
where it is balanced. Because if that were not the case, that would be much more problematic. And Jim, I was also thinking of what you said. Helen, you may be too good of a right. listener. Right. And some people are really enjoying that. And so maybe you don't give that so freely. I think at a certain point in life, it is important to evaluate our relationships and who we give our energy and time to, because quite frankly, we have less of it. We have much less energy. And to feel good about our lives and feel healthier in our relationships, sometimes you do have to prune a bit. So sometimes you have to look at and say, okay, who are the people that are life-giving? This would be your VIPs. And who are the people that are life-draining?
Right.
And you give less time to those that are that are draining. You just have to make a change because you might be waiting for them to notice. And the fact that the pattern is even there, they're not going to notice because it really meets a need of theirs. They love being with you. They think you're the best because you help contain them. Now, if it were balanced, that's a really nice thing to have, where sometimes it's your turn and sometimes it's their turn to be the sounding board. I have lots of friends like that where we take turns wearing different hats. But when it's someone that is always using you as a sounding board, I think you have to be the one to make the change with them. To either, and I wonder, do you insert yourself at all? Are you waiting, again, like I said, for them to notice, or do you speak up? Think about the relationships that work well for you. What's the difference in how you behave? Because that's what you can change. And try it with these other relationships. Maybe you say, you know, we often talk about what's going on with you, but I really wanted to share something today. And you share. And maybe you're not going to share something super intimate because they haven't proven to be trustworthy in that way. But share something and see if the relationship can shift.
Mm-hmm. Well, Helen, I want to hear you share something after the break. So be thinking about any objections you might have to what they're thinking, or even if you agree with it, or things that you've tried. You know, relationships are challenging, but, you know, it's an, just even hearing your question requires us to reflect back on ourselves. How are we listening to other people? We'll be right back after this.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope, and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking with Helen, and we are going to listen to Helen. Helen, we want to hear what you have to say about that. Just some of the thoughts that Jim and Jill shared.
Yes, I really appreciate your wisdom about, time. You know, our time is limited, the time that we have to give to others, and the VIPs and the VDPs. And I just wanted to ask, like, would you ever advise, like, talking to these individuals and just telling them, like, I feel like there is an imbalance in our friendship. Like, one of these friends, we've been friends for 30 years, and I go back and forth with, wow, I've put up with this for 30 years. Do I just bear it, you know, for the rest of my life, or bring it up, you know? And I think it would surprise the person, like you said. And I realized that a lot of these individuals don't have many friends, actually. You know, and this is probably the reason why they don't have many friends. And so when they're going through something, I feel this responsibility to be there for them. And I think these individuals would consider me to be one of their best friends. Mm-hmm. But I can't say that I'm one of, you know, I would consider them necessarily a super close friend. So it's like this imbalance. And I know, like, God calls us to, you know, be there for others, and, you know, you know, it's not all about me, and I want to serve others, but I'm not sure if it's something that you think is worth, like, directly bringing up.
Well, I would think about each of the people, and it is interesting. These relationships are long-standing, and sometimes who we are when we start relationships is very different from who we become later on. And it may have been that you were a little more passive in some of your relationships, mm-hmm. and so you attracted people that have enjoyed you caretaking them. So I do think you need to decrease some of your responsibility and feeling so responsible. It's not your fault that they don't have more friends, but it does make sense why they would latch on to you. And when I was suggesting maybe you try stepping in and saying that you want to share something, because a lot of times you don't, that's you taking responsibility and seeing if they can handle that. That might be a precursor to you saying, can we talk about our relationship?
Right.
But I think doing it from the standpoint of owning the fact that you have allowed yourself to be comfortable in the listening position and that you haven't been as open to being known by them and that you're sorry about that, that you've given them perhaps the impression that you don't have as many needs. But in actuality, you do.
But, you know, to your point, though, Jill, about the audit, I mean, Helen, these people, even though you've had long-term relationships, may not be worthy of what you have to share. Like, do you know, and that sounds harsh, but
you do have to evaluate that.
Yeah, and I just, so that's where I think, I love the audit idea, Jill. Jim, I saw you writing a note down.
Yeah, I wrote the word self-aware. A lot of people like your friends, Helen, who aren't asking about you, they're not self-aware. They're not even aware, probably, that they aren't communicating with you, because, and especially your friend who's for 30 years, because you know there's a habit now. And so if they're not self-aware, it may help to have that conversation. Like Jill said, I think sometime you just say, hey, I've got this issue. I want to throw it by you. See what they do. Even before you go into a big deal in terms of, hey, I wish you would talk to me more, whatever. Do it. Try it. Because some people are not self-aware that they're even doing that. And if you do it, you may be surprised that they'll listen to you. My wife has really good boundaries. I learned so much from her. And one of the things I see with her, because she has a lot of friends who are in the friend group like your friends, who I'm calling the VDPs, very draining people. And you know what? She meets with them, but not as often as they would like to. They would want to meet every week, right? And so she kind of holds that and says, oh, I can't meet this week, but you know, how about – you know, 3 weeks from Friday or something. And you know what? She has the strength. She knows where her strength is in. She still meets with them, but she sees it actually as a ministry, not so much as a friendship. And they would call her the best friend. I mean, they want her to speak at their funerals if they were died or if they got remarried, this one gal. You know, they want her to do, you know, be totally a part of it. She doesn't see them as a friend or what I would call a replenishing relationship. So, you know, part of that may mean that you just kind of back it off. If it's not working, sure, you have a ministry heart. I hear that in your voice. So care for that, serve them, sure, but maybe not as regular, and find the replenishing relationships that you have in that which I said before, in your relationship long term with others who meet more of your mutual needs.
And some people actually may have some awareness of the imbalance and have anxiety about it, yet their need is so great. And the dynamic that gets co-created has been set. So if you were to maybe, again, I'm pushing this idea of you putting your need a little bit more out there, they might be relieved.
And sometimes if we don't share, they don't know that we have some of these issues. I think I come across like that sometimes, where people just go, well, Jim seems like a great guy, and he's, you know, he probably didn't have any of these issues. He's not bringing it up to me. You might honor the relationship, Helen, by actually sharing something, just kind of tiptoe into it, sharing something, and then you might be surprised. They might actually be more available to you than you think.
They might even see you as a very private person.
Yeah, sure.
That doesn't share a lot. So it would be interesting. So I think to answer your question, yes, Helen, some form of communication where you start to make some changes in these relationships and see what happens.
It is a great idea. We're so glad that you called, Helen. I think we all learned something from that. I think I'm going to send you a copy of 7 Ways to Choose Healing by Steve Arterburn. You've heard of him before. And I think that'll get you a little bit more insight as well. And that, you know, just everything that the two of you shared with her is really great for the rest of us to just consider, are we sharing too much? Are we not listening? How are our relationships developing? And I love what you guys shared with her. We're going to go back to the calls, and we're going to talk with Jennifer, who's calling us from Dallas and listens on YouTube. You can watch us there as well. And if you are watching us there, click that subscribe and like button. It really helps get the word out about New Life. Hello, Jennifer. How can we help you today?
Hi, guys. I love listening to you, and I've been listening for years, so I wanted to call in with just to see what advice you might have. So basically, real quick, my background, I'm single, and I have a roommate and my sister. We all three live together, and currently, right now, my sister's son and his wife and their newborn are moving in with us. and I was wondering, I guess my question is if I made the right decision on allowing them to move in when my sister's son, he doesn't have the best track record of, like, you know, making good decisions, like financial and stuff like that. So that's basically one reason why they're moving in. And also, where my sister and I are worried about his wife with the new baby, because she's showing definite signs of, like, postpartum depression. And so it's just a lot of things. But I feel like maybe I'm, you know, I keep going back and forth. And I feel like I'm hearing Jesus telling me that I am making the right decision. But then sometimes I start questioning that. So I guess that's part of my question. I mean, there's a lot more, obviously, but
It's interesting, Jennifer. Well, it's interesting though to me that it's your sister and your sister's son, as opposed to your nephew, that you're talking about, and that you all are already having some apprehension. Jim, how would you direct this challenge?
Well, for one thing, I would never say don't listen to Jesus, because sometimes, and sometimes, you know, sometimes what I think I'm hearing from Jesus, it was my, you know, the spaghetti I had last night. And other times it truly is Jesus. And I'm not saying that in jest. I mean, I am kind of, but I'm saying, you know, when somebody says I've been listening to Jesus, then I say, try it. However, I would make sure that you have expectations. How long are they going to be there? What's the process to move them out? They don't want to be with, you know, you all forever and ever, I hope. And so I think before they enter, it's much better to then have, hey, so what are the expectations? How long is this? What are you going to pay something in this? How's the other roommate feel? You know, it's really important that I believe that negotiation and discussion is before, so that then a few months from now, if it's not going well, you say, oh gosh, I feel so bad, but here was our expectations. We're not meeting those expectations, so maybe we need another plan.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Well, Jennifer, you can hear the music. Don't go anywhere, because we're going to hear from Jill as well. And, you know, we're going to take a quick break and then come back. You know, I just want to remind everybody, there are many ways to listen if you miss us on a day that we are recording live. So you can go to, you know, newlife.com/radio, and we've got some instructions where you can hear us, or you can ask us the question, and then you can hear it later. Because I know you're listening, whether it's on the app, you listen on YouTube like Jennifer does, but we want to be able to answer your questions as well. So if you have a question and you can't call during airtime, you can go to newlife.com/radio, and we've got some options. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking with Jennifer, who's got a house full and trying to navigate this. Jill, what would you like to offer to Jennifer?
Well, Jennifer, first of all, we were wondering, is this a small apartment or is this a house perhaps that you are the landlord? What's the situation?
It's a house. It's a four-bedroom house, so it's fairly big, and that's part of the reason why I feel like maybe, like, you know, I went ahead and agreed to it.
Okay.
We have the room now. And also another part is I was sort of in this same situation about 10 years ago where I ended up having to move in with a friend of a friend. Mm-hmm. And at that time, the difficulties I was going through and everything, my sister wasn't there for me. Mm. And because, you know, she was going through stuff, you know, with her family.
Yes.
And also my dad wasn't even really there for me that much. And so, and my mom had passed away about a year before that. And so it was just a lot. And I even called you guys around that time. Mm. But anyway, so I think that I feel like maybe I'm having some resentment, like, why should I help your son, my nephew, who I love, but why should I help y'all when y'all didn't help me back then, you know? But then I kind of feel like I'm hearing Jesus say,
yes,
you kind of need to let that go right now, you know?
Yes, so. That is interesting, because I thought you were going to say, because someone helped me, now I feel like I want to help others. And I think that is part of it.
Sure.
But the resentment with your sister, have you and your sister ever talked about that?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
She actually came back into my life about over a year or so ago. We had, for whatever reason, nothing bad necessarily, but she just kind of stopped responding to me. And it was years that we just weren't talking.
Wow.
And then she finally came back. And so we have gotten a lot closer the last year or so, which is awesome. And we have talked a little bit about it. And so she does understand, I think, but I haven't actually said those words to her about the resentment. And like, maybe that's why I'm having, you know, doubts about this decision.
Yes.
But at the same time, I'm thinking about this newborn, you know, because if they stay where they're at in Colorado Springs and we're in Dallas, they decided to move on their own last year. You know, they knew they were pregnant. It was before we knew, but they decided to do all this on their own, knowing that they didn't have any family nearby, knowing they don't really have the, you know, the money. And it's like, well, you made your bed, now you gotta lie in it, you know, that kind of feeling. But then they've got this newborn who we don't want them out on the street, you know? So it's just, it's complicated.
Yes, situations are complicated, and you're trying to hold it all in the balance. So I think, first of all, you and your sister do need a discussion. You have to say the hard thing so that it doesn't creep in. But then also say, but people were there for me, even though it wasn't you at the time. God did bring others along. And because of that, I want to come alongside for a period of time. There's also the fact that they've made poor choices. Okay, they're young. But sometimes giving people a period of time and seeing, is my helping helpful? I've had a lot of family members and other people in and out of my house. And I have felt like you, okay, I feel like this is a person that God's calling me to help. But it at times, and I've done it where I've not had conversation, and then where I've felt like I've needed to have the conversation, or midstream, I've said, you know, I really should have had this conversation with you in the beginning. Can we talk about what we're both thinking? And that's always been received well. And so I would just trust that it's good to then, even if you set the expectations at the beginning, periodically, like build in. So in a month, let's touch base again and make sure we're all still on the same page and that it's going how we would like it to go. And that there needs to be some communication in order for this to be workable. But very important for it to be time limited. This isn't going to move into years, especially if you're doing it where they're not paying rent. And I think asking about some kind of contribution would be important.
Exactly.
And a time frame, and a time frame too. Jennifer is, you know, I love how it's never. We've talked about this before. It's never the original question, right, Jennifer? As we drill down, there are layers that go with that, and there's great opportunities for healing and connection, and but clarity, just like Jim and Jill already said, you know, everything from an agreement to, you know, what's the expectation. And the other question I had was, is the nephew asking to move, or are you guys offering this?
He actually asked, and my sister and I even discussed, even before he asked, before we even knew that they were late on rent and everything like that, that we even discussed, like, oh my gosh, because she went up there to stay with them to help with the baby, and it was just, she saw the situation they're in. And so we kind of were on the same page, sort of, but it kept going back and forth and wishy-washy, and then all of a sudden it was like, okay, they're coming. And so now I'm like, oh, okay, it's real, it's happening. And so I'm just dealing with that anxiety and wondering if I made, you know, the right decision. My roommate is okay with it. He's also you know, feeling like we do need to make the, like he also mentioned, you know, setting expectations and things like that. So he agrees with that too. And I did mention it to my sister, so, and she understands, but she's in the middle of it, and she right. just didn't want to really talk about it at the time because just
well,
all the emotions.
But go ahead, Jill.
So maybe you have a house meeting with all of you.
Yes.
Now that we're
yes.
all going to be under the same roof, let's talk about how each of us is thinking and feeling.
Right. The other yeah. part of this too, Jennifer, that I don't think anybody's really taken in is there. That means that there's going to be a child in the house. Mm-hmm. It's different yeah. when it's a room or a house full of adults. Yes. A child changes everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's wise, Jill, that Jennifer, you have to have a meeting of the roommates with a mm-hmm. plan before they get there, because otherwise you talk about resentment, that's going to build up real quick.
Yes, but also exactly. when they include them at some point with everybody
yes.
so that everybody yes. feels like they're having a say-so.
Right.
That's wise.
And everybody is going to be inconvenienced because babies cry.
Babies
and there's
cry.
Middle of the night stuff, and there's
That's
stinky
right.
diapers, and there's extra things mm-hmm. around.
All of the things. Well, mm-hmm. Jennifer, I'm going to send you a copy of Boundaries, which will help you with this process. But we're so grateful that you called and have been listening for so long. You know, before we close, we've got a couple of minutes left, but we had a caller submit a question that asked, why do Christians suffer from anxiety? And I know in 2 minutes, you guys are going to give all of the information that we can get, but just get us started in that conversation a little bit. Jim?
Well, I'm anxious about even answering that
yeah.
question. You know, there's so many reasons. Sometimes it's because we're not putting our trust in God. Sometimes it's because there's actually a clinical issue that's going along. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not hardly answering your question, but I think we need to make sure that we get an assessment to make sure that we know what is this anxiety coming from. I don't think you can treat the anxiety until you know what the anxiety is. Sometimes it's a physical issue, and other times it's relational. And when we get that understanding, that's when I think we can really get to the bottom of it.
Yes, but it's also God-given, and yeah. we do need yes. a certain amount of anxiety
sure.
to move forward.
Yeah.
In life. We just
right.
don't want so much that it immobilizes
yeah, right.
us.
It's really good.
Well, and you know, the whole concept, we are not immune to the things of this world,
right.
but
yes.
God can give us insight, wisdom. He does. He gives us strength. He gives us people. And whether it's a doctor, a counselor, or a very good friend, loved one, we can get through it. If you have trouble with anxiety, you can give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Jim. And thank you, listeners. We'll see you next time.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing. And we're so glad that you're here.